So let us move on now to the bridge to Body Island and have you tell us this story. The stage is yours, Robert.
All right. It's actually the longest story in the book, but I'll try to give you a short version. Around 1990, three friends in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, began experimenting with a Ouija board. One of them was actually working, he was taking care of a group of people who had something called Prader-Willi, which is a bizarre genetic defect that causes them to eat uncontrollably. Anyway, they had their evenings free, and they would fool with this Ouija board, and they set out to do some psychic experiments. They wanted to see if they could get some scrap of information that they could not possibly have known, something that would allow them to, that's something that they could look up and prove actually was factual, but they couldn't have known it. Anyway, the three of them tried different groupings. One of them would try moving the planchette with the other, get no results. Finally, the one girl in the group of three began to get responses from the Ouija board, and they got the kind of like New Age kind of talk that you get from a lot of what claimed to be spirits. You know, they would talk about raising your consciousness, things like that, and they were communicating with about a dozen of them. But eventually, the guy who was leading it, his name is Eli, he's a friend of mine, he got bored with this, and he wanted to find some information, and he also wanted to hear a little more about somebody that they mentioned but wouldn't elaborate on. The spirits, or whatever it was that was giving them this information, they just would talk about somebody without ever mentioning his name. Well, eventually Eli got tired of this, and he told them that they were either going to give them the name of this person, or they were going to stop communicating altogether. So they were going to go on strike, so to speak. And all of the spirits vanished, except for one who called itself the Spirit of the Board. And it said that it would tell them the story. It didn't want to. And they had to do this over several sessions to get the whole story, but they eventually did. And it claimed that their Ouija board by using the Ouija board, they had come in contact with this man who had become a monster. He was born in the 1920s. He had been born an albino and was sent to an orphanage, in Algiers, in Louisiana. He used to run away from the orphanage, but he was blind and he couldn't get very far, and he became more and more violent. Eventually, when he was a teenager, he attacked one of the nurses with a big pair of scissors and left her terribly wounded, but he escaped to the railroad yards and began to ride the rails. Now, something happened to him. Maybe he was practicing voodoo, who knows what, but he became a monster, and he began to kill people. And when he killed them, he would remove their eyes and their tongue.
Oh, my God.
And he stitched them together into this monster that kept him company. It would move, and it acted as his eyes because he finally became blind. Now, as he turned into this monster, he wore a black jacket, like a navy pea coat, and he wore a big black slouch hat. He had long white hair, and he had glasses that were painted black. And he was an albino, so he had very, very white skin. And he carried a bag called the Sack of Gore, which was like a seaman's type sack, which was full of things that he cut out of people.
Oh, my God, Robert.
And the terrible thing about him was that he could only find you if you thought of his name. It turned you into a kind of a psychic beacon. And as long as you thought of his name or the name of the monster that accompanied him, he would start to search for you.
And if he found you?
Well, I guess you became part of the monster. I guess he took out your eyes and your tongue.
And part of the bag.
Or maybe you ended up, the choice pieces ended up in the bag. Well, when this story got out, the girl said, that's it. She has having nothing more to do with this. so they stopped with the Ouija board. But then a few odd things began to happen. She and the other guy who used the planchette with her both began to wake up at 3 in the morning every day. They were having terrible nightmares. I should mention that the way the monster alerts the man that they've come within range of their victim is he lets out a whistle, a piercing whistle, because that plays a part in what happened later. Anyway, he went off to a different part of the state, and one night he was asleep, and he heard a knocking on the door. And the voice of the girl told him to get up because they're going to go out to breakfast. But then he looked over at the clock, and he looked at the window, and it was pitch black out. And he realized that she wouldn't have traveled over 100 miles without telling them to go out to breakfast. And he spent the rest of the night lying on the floor, absolutely petrified with fear, as this something knocked on the door, knocked on the door. He could see the shadow underneath the door, and eventually it left. So he had that little experience. And then the girl and her boyfriend, the other one of the three, were crossing this island, which is called Barker Stewart Island in Wausau, Wisconsin. Supposedly, it's some people call it Body Island because bodies used to wash up there from the Wisconsin River, because it was downriver from a sawmill, and whenever a lumberjack would drown, the body would end up here by Body Island. So this was the bridge to Body Island. They were crossing it when she heard a whistle. He didn't hear anything, but the whistle got louder and louder, and it's a railroad bridge, so maybe it was a railroad, but the whistle kept getting louder. He still heard nothing, and she eventually just lost it and went running off the bridge screaming, and they broke up soon after that.